Blog Talk Radio.
Talk lines for caster than just big talkers. Showing what it really means to be a fake walker.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mental Ability Empowerment Program.
Yo, this your boy, Darren Deke of Quality of Life Music Group, a.k.a. Mr. Christian Walk. And every Monday night at 9 p.m., I'm listening to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Now demonstrate your mantle, preacher.
Hi, this is Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, a.k.a. Doctor Intimacy. When I'm not worshiping in the beauty of holiness, I'm listening to DMT Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Clock. You ought to listen to.
Yeah, man, yeah, man. It's going down tonight on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We bring the very best to you for the mantles that are demonstrated apostolically, prophetically, evangelistically, pastoral, and teacher's anointing. Tonight, we're taking it down to Texas with Prophetess Lenine, Dr. Intimacy Hanaya. So just kick back on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Doc will be coming up in a few minutes. We're going to get into our Valentine's Gospel remix now. Amen for all the couples married, holding it down, or those who are waiting for courtship. This space is for you. So kick back. Doc will definitely be in the house in a few minutes. Let's go.
Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
I'm just waiting, concentrating, cause the time is not right. I'm just trying to stay focused, cause my promise inside. I'm just waiting, concentrating, cause the time is not right. I'm just trying to stay focused, cause my promise inside. And I say you, say you, you, say you,
walking by faith, eat his word like a bitch. Hungry by faith, girl, you really worth it. For your eye praise, your heart got a price. On the cross, it was paid. You pray with your tears, no time for the fool. And the God build a house, we just follow his blueprint. Work out together, exercise both flex. We on God's time and no Rolex. In the word, I pray that God impress you. Waiting on his move, consecrating like Esther. Your hunger and your thirst with the word, I feel you. Your heart being broken through the word, we build you. Passion for God in your voice, I can hear it. Planted by the water, bearing fruits of the spirit. Been patient for marriage, on God's time. And I know you the one, my kingdom assignment.
Waiting, concentrating, cause the time is not right. I'm just trying to stay focused, cause my promise inside. I'm just waiting, concentrating, cause the time is not right. I'm just trying to stay focused, cause my promise inside. And that pays.
this feeling in my gut, or repent and love my neighbor. Ooh, Jesus Christ, I wanna have your favor.
It's 3 in the morning, I'm up praying. Show me in my secret place. Stay while I seek your face. If my life is messed up, you can fix me up. Then we can get this process started and purify my mind now.
You already know what time it is. All I'm trying to tell you is my Savior is. When I get to heaven, I'll never let go. And heaven only knows we ain't gon' stop until we win. Reach up in the air where my Savior is. Making me over.
Tell my testimony. Look what this world has did to me. I lost my connection with the Lord, yeah. It made me feel my soul was lost. Now I'm sitting here thinking that maybe if I change
demonstrate your mantle, preacher.
Yeah. Demonstrate your mantle, preacher. Amen. You know what time it is, amen. It's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, brought to you by EMG Radio, sponsored by the worldwide man of God, Nathan on the Spot. Amen. We're back in here another Monday night to make your acquaintance in the name of Jesus Christ. Also want to give a special shout-out to a couple people, amen. Shout-out to P. Ray, amen, young man of God on fire. He got an apostolic calling on his life, man. I was building with him earlier, man. Shout-out to P. Ray down in the Metro of Columbia. Also Sadat and also the legendary Dave Vine, amen. We had a ball yesterday, amen, at the Gospel Artist Workshop. Amen. The Behind the Mic in Columbia. Amen. The Metro, man. It was a blessing to be among the saints of God, the remnant of God. They allow EMG to come into their facilities. Amen. Down there, man. Pastor Simmons, man. There was so many people down there, man. We was blessed. Amen. Had a good time, man. It was a Kingdom Lyricist cipher going on, man. Davon, he brought an awesome word, just a State of the Union address for gospel rappers, amen, and just how to conduct yourself as a man of God, how to conduct yourself as a woman of God when you're doing a gospel rap for the Lord. And I think instead of criticizing young people, amen, you got to teach them. Amen. You got to teach them. Amen. So we shout out to them. Amen. Also, last night, we were supposed to have the woman of God, Stacey Lattisaw Jackson, on, but the woman of God, she contacted me. She said, man of God, prophet, I just wasn't feeling good, so I definitely want to come back on. Amen. So we're going to schedule and bring Minister Stacey Lattisaw Jackson back on. Once again, amen, she was not doing well last night. I sensed by the Holy Spirit that there was some things going on, amen. But nevertheless, I was joined last night by my awesome brother, Arthur K.L. Belvin, amen. He was in the building. We just had Man Cave, amen. So shout out to everybody who tuned in for the Man Cave moment last night on the Kingdom Voices Gospel program. Before we introduce our special guest, also I'd like to remind you, upcoming this Sunday, we're going to have the legendary Alabama Spirituals in the building. We're going to have the Alabama Spirituals. I'm so excited about this one. The Alabama Spirituals, these brothers been serving the Lord. I'm talking about doing music ministry for 28 years. They will be in the building. We're going to be previewing some more of their tracks from the album, amen. I'm talking about, is God satisfied with me, all that. And then Monday, We're going to have another prophetess in the house, amen. I call her mom, amen. She's the mother of mothers, amen. I'm talking about prophetess Dr. Yaquana Payne McCall. She will definitely be in the building, amen, next Monday night, amen. So if you need some more wise counsel, if you don't get it tonight, amen, if you want some more, we're going to have another prophetess here on next week, amen. So you just sit tight. But right now, amen, I'm going to bring forth this awesome vessel, amen, of Yahweh, amen. Before I go ahead, amen, we're just going to a word of prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We just ask, Lord God, you forgive us any sins, transgression, anything we've done, Lord, pleasing in your sight, God. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, set this program apart for your honor and your glory, God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you anoint everybody who is gathered here all around the world via internet, Lord God, smartphones, iPads, Lord God, desktop, laptops, Galaxy phones, Lord God, the window phones, Lord God, airports, driving down the highway, Lord God, or just sitting, Lord God, outside just to get a signal, God. Lord God, we just ask that you bless your people on tonight, Lord God, as they hear the prophetic mantle from the woman of God, Lord God, who came to get a prophetic word, Lord God, who came, Lord God, to get counsel concerning that marriage, that relationship, that fiance, Lord God, that no good man, that no good woman, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, empower your people on tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we bless your prophets that are tuning in, Lord God. Tune in, Lord God, we just ask that you bless your apostolic prophets, Lord God. And I even heard the Holy Spirit say just now, Lord God, that the prophets are definitely tuning in right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for your prophets, Lord God, that are gathered, Lord God, via internet, Lord God, and the phones, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for your fivefold ministry, Lord God. So quicken us tonight, Lord God. Make us alive into your voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I was discerning a couple things in the realm just now. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But amen, I ain't going to hold it up any longer. Amen. We got prophetess. Amen. Two or three that the word will be established. Amen. I bring forth this woman of God. Amen. I met her by the anointing. Amen. When I say God brought us together, amen, I mean God brought us together. It was nothing but the hand of Yahweh that brought us together for such a time as this, amen. This is my sister, amen. She corrects me. She get on me, amen. And there's times she'll wake me up 2 or 3 o'clock and prophet this and that and the third, amen. God saying this and that. She, amen, she's one of the sisters that holds me accountable, amen. I thank God for this woman of God, amen. She's on point, in season. Her release is on point, amen. So I'm going to bring forth none other than my sister, prophetess, Dr. Intimacy, Lanine Hanaya. Woman of God, how you doing?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Why you have to blow
Hallelujah.
Up my spot like that?
I was, man, that's normal. Anybody who listens to us, amen, they know, amen. I'm a tell it all, amen. Amen.
So you prophet, yes. It's definitely my brother too, and you hold me accountable as well. So amen. I'm grateful for you, honored to be on the program tonight and excited about what the Spirit of the Lord will reveal.
Hallelujah. So first of all, for those who don't know who you are, I mean, this is Shut Down Radio, amen. A lot of people want to know, okay, you know, who is Prophetess Lanine Hanaya, amen. Tell them how you got that name, amen. Did we lose Prophetess? Man, the devil is a liar on tonight. Lord God, we just bind the hands of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody know a word of prayer? We just plead the blood over this broadcast tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We know when this happens, Lord God, you are doing awesome work, Lord God. You are about to show up and show out tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, that prophetess, Lord God, that she's all as well, Lord God, with her phone, Lord God, and everything is according to your ordinance in Jesus' name. Pastor Hill, do we have the prophetess back with us? Amen. Well, we'll continue to flow till we get the prophetess back on the line here. Amen. Pastor Hill, I'll definitely get her back in. Amen. And I know, you know, warfare. Amen. You know how that warfare is. Amen. All my prophets, all my apostles listening in. Amen. They definitely don't want a program of this magnitude to go down. Amen. I know I encountered some things on today, amen, the enemy trying to shut some things down, amen, but he has no power in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Like I said, This upcoming Sunday, we're going to have the Alabama Spirituals in the building, amen. We're going to be talking about their single, Is God Satisfied With Me? And Jesus, He'll Fix It, amen. They're awesome men of God. I mean, they're class act, amen. So shout out to Stan Hunter, amen. If you know him on social media sites, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, definitely add that man of God to your friend rotation, Stan Hunter, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And like I said, we're going to have Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall. She's an anointed vessel. Met her in person. Amen. And let me tell you something. I call her a shofar. If you don't know about her, you need to go on YouTube. Amen. And type her in. Amen. Okay. Do we have Doc back?
Yes.
Prophet,
yes,
you with her?
I'm here, man. The devil is trembling. What?
Ooh.
Wow,
well,
wow, wow.
Wow, well, I know what time it is. I already knew what time it was when you got you on here, amen, but we're going to just continue to flow. Listen, why is so many sisters struggling in this hour? Let's just dive right into the devil's. Let's get all up in this business right now. Why is so many sisters and brothers struggling in this hour, amen, and relationships, amen? I know that the Bible says that who can find a virtuous woman, amen? It's like they're hard to find, amen. But what about a virtuous man? I made a statement earlier talking about a Proverbs 31 man because she reflects that man, amen. So what you know about a lot of struggling that's going on now?
Well, you know, the things always go back to the foundation and the foundational understanding of what marriage is, what sex is, what relationships are really for in the kingdom. That is where the problem begins, because people don't even understand what marriage really is, what really takes place when people have sex. And so many people are already contaminated, already perverted, already damaged. And we were wired, Prophet, we were wired for companionship. We were wired for intimacy. We were wired for sexuality. I mean, we've been designed and built this way by God. And I think one of the mistakes that people make, especially in the body of Christ, when we become born again, if we are unmarried, we have a tendency to think that somehow, miraculously, that our bodies are going to become different and no longer crave sex and intimacy and companionship. And that just doesn't happen. After we get born again, we still need to eat, still need to brush our teeth every day. We still need to do unpleasant things in the bathroom. You know, none of the fallen state of man is redeemed in the flesh just because we become born again. And so our sexuality does not change just because we become born again, but our understanding of it must. Because the Bible says that we will be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so there is a necessity for a renewed mind concerning relationships, marriage, and sexuality.
Okay, Doc, let's continue to go in, amen. Let's make the devil out of the liar that he is, amen. So why is it that a person that may have been holding on single, And they said, listen, I ain't been sexing or nothing like that, but yet my body is doing its own thing. I mean, I'm not masturbating. I'm not doing any of this stuff, but my body is just doing its own thing. Doc, help me. What is going on? Talk to him, Doc.
Well, the two-part answer. The one part is I really want to hammer it in. That the flesh is the flesh is the flesh. So the body's not going to change. So if you craved and desired sex before you were single, I mean, before you were born again, you're still going to crave and desire it now. As a matter of fact, even more so since you're abstaining from it. And, you know, sometimes the craving, the intensity of it is purely hormonal. It can be just a biophysical, something that is really just going on in the body. Sometimes there can be demonic influences as well that cause that. And so as you get a deeper understanding of relationships and sex and the contamination and perversion that already entered into you before you were born again, it helps to decipher or determine between the two. But one of the ways that you can tell, one of the litmus tests as to whether or not you are being attacked by a lust demon or a sex demon, as opposed to, okay, this is just hormonal and I need to go take a shower and maybe go for a jog. Is the level of intensity. If you have sexual urges that are so strong that they become mentally distracting, that they take your peace away, that you become anxious, that you can't think about anything else, that you are disturbed in your sleep, that no matter what you try to do to distract yourself away from those sexual urges, then that would definitely speak to a demonic oppression. But if you're able to control those urges or to abate them by doing exercise or taking a shower or taking a nap, then you know that it's just going on in the body.
Okay. I've had a sister, she said that she woke up one night and she was having orgasms because she said she was having sex with a spirit. Explain what is that that's going on. Sisters are complaining now in this age. I mean, sisters that's holding on, they said they are, real talk radio, they said they are getting off, Doc, off of spirits. Okay, what exactly is going on? And they're talking about intense stuff. They're talking about is intense. And from what I'm hearing, some of them are addicted to this. What's going on, Doc?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And anytime that we go through something, especially when you're a fivefold leader, you tend to go through it to help others. When Yeshua spoke to Peter, he said, "After, you know, I'm going to answer your question, but I just want to say this leading up to it, that Yeshua prayed for Peter, Jesus. He prayed for Peter, and he told him that he was going to deny him three times. And even though the Christ himself, the Savior, prayed for Peter, Peter still fell anyway. Now, there is no intercession that could ever possibly be more powerful and stronger than the intercession of the Lamb himself. And with his intercession, Peter still fell. And so it was important for Peter to fall. It was a designed part of his walk, of his ministry, because Yeshua then said to him, after thou have been converted, go back and strengthen thy brethren. You know, so when we talk about the different mantles, one of the things that we have to understand is that everything the Lord delivers you through, because some things he'll deliver you out of, some things he'll deliver you around, over, under, but there are other things that he will deliver you through. And when he delivers you through something, it is to license you to practice that particular deliverance ministry. And so when you begin to talk about this, I have a license for this. I'm licensed.
Amen. This particular topic.
Now, I have a blog called the Insights from Dr. Intimacy blog, and that blog prophet receives anywhere from 600 to 1,000 hits a day, and 85 to 90% of the hits on that blog go to my sex demons page, which are commonly referred to as incubus and succubus, and these are the spirits that actually come to have sex with people, most often when they're asleep, but they can come any time of the day or night. So this is a very, very common issue, way, way more than people realize. It's common in the church, common outside of the church. And yes, when you are visited by those spirits, they are highly skilled at causing sexual pleasure that most oftentimes is exceedingly, not just a little bit, but it is exceedingly more intense and more pleasurable than sex with an actual person. So it can be very addictive, more addictive than pornography, fornication, and masturbation combined.
Whoa, Doc. Slow down. Whoa. Hold on. Let me jump this number out here because I know the people or the lines are burning up right now. 347-945-5416 for those of you who are listening on blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. We have Dr. Intimacy herself, Prophetess Lenine Hanaya in the building. Definitely all of y'all who are packed, jam-packed up on these lines and stuff, and all of them via the internet, amen. Definitely you can press 1. Get your questions in now, amen, as we go in. But I think the people really want to hear from you, so continue to flow. But you're saying that these spirits are more intense sexually, in that realm of the sexual perversion, they're more skillfully than a human in that level.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry to bust the ego of all those brothers out there that think they are the master of love.
Wow.
But these lust demons.
My Lord.
I mean, you gotta understand that these are ancient spirits with ancient skills. A human being is on the earth for a certain number of years. You know, our days may be 70 years, 60 years, so on and so forth. 20 of those years are spent in childhood. These spirits have been around for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, studying the human body, studying the female anatomy, the male anatomy, the sexual responses of human beings. And so they know exactly what to do to bring the body to the height of ecstasy. And the only way that you would really experience that in a relationship with a person would be if two people were truly, truly in love and able to have sex spiritually, which most people don't ever experience. Most people do not experience the height of sexuality because they don't know what it is. They don't know what it's for. They don't know how to use it. They don't know how to form intimate connections. So it's not that you can't have that level of pleasure in a relationship, but it is unlikely.
Okay, okay. So let me piggyback off you into another sense for my married couples that are listening in. Now, how can that sister, and I just kind of feel this, how can that sister or that brother who may be in a marriage and now their intimacy has gotten to a place where it's just, we're married, Doc, we love the Lord, but it's more like I'm clocking into my job. It's more like we done been married like 5 years now, the honeymoon been over. It's like, how can they get to the biblical style of knowing that the intimacy of the bedroom is worship? How can we tie it into that, knowing that it is worship? And then translating what you said into the spiritual connection of the heightening of that sexual.
Yeah, that's a really good question and really, really important, because I was married before and I just know how empty it can become at certain points, how empty and dull the relationship can become, what a disappointment the sexuality of a relationship can be when you have these expectations of, okay, well, we're married, we got the blessing of God now, this is holy matrimony, and wow, this is going to be awesome. And when you actually begin to engage in it, it's not even as good as what you were getting in the world. So, you know, and it can be that way a lot of times. But, you know, again, I have to reiterate what I said in the beginning, is that the foundational understanding is not there. One of the most important things, and I definitely would suggest, strongly, strongly urge any couple, no matter how good or bad your relationship is, to go to my website and get my book, The Spirit of Sexual Perversion Reference Book. It's drintimacy.com, drintimacy.com. Get The Spirit of Sexual Perversion Reference Book and read that book together with your spouse. It's going to take your intimacy to an entirely new level, just because of the understanding that you're going to get, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. But the foundational understanding that we need to get is, why did God even give us sex? Why did he create it? Why is it so intense? Why is it so pleasurable? Why do we crave it so much? Why do we need it? And the important thing for us to understand, Prophet, is that human sexuality in its purest form between one man and one woman that is committed to one another is a picture of our intimate relationship with the Lord. See, everything that he gave us on the earth is a replica or a model, if you will, of things of the kingdom. So everything that we see teaches us about what we can't see. Everything seen teaches us about what is unseen. And so the marriage relationship was given to us to teach us about the unseen elements of our intimate relationship with him. You notice in the Bible that the body of Christ or the chosen people were always referred to some female personification indicating marriage. They were referred to as a bride or as a wife or there was talks of marriage. Even when the people strayed, they were called adulterers. So all of the references to the people of God were always references of marriage. Why? Because God wanted us to understand that his intimacy with us is like a marriage. And there is only one thing, prophet. There's just one thing that sets the marriage relationship apart from any other relationship. I can go back to what you said in the introduction. You and I, you're like my best friend. We talk all the time. We pray together. We do ministry together. We do a lot of things together. But we're not married, and there's only one reason that we're not married. So there's only one thing that sets the marriage relationship apart from every other relationship, and that is sex. It is the only relationship by which it is legal in the kingdom for you to engage in that sexual blood covenant. So when God refers to us as a wife, then you know when he calls us his bride, when he calls us his wife, he is talking about the level of intimacy that he wants to have with us.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. The Mantle of God Empowerment Program. This is the Intimacy Edition. All you Valentine heads, amen. I know you're packed up on the line. You're gathered all around the world, amen. You might be saying, well, Prophet, I'm still going to go to the hotel Friday. Listen. You call in, Booger, and get your help tonight. Amen. You call tonight and get your help tonight. Amen. And God wants to set you free. Amen. He wants to give you some answers on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So call in definitely. We got Prophets Dr. Lenin, Dr. Intimacy Hanaya in the building. We're talking real talk. Amen. If you're religious, you might not like us tonight. Amen. You don't like us no night, but definitely you ain't going to like us tonight. Amen. Because we're having real talk. Amen. The enemy tried to take my sister off the line tonight. So we're going to have some fun tonight in Jesus' name. Now, switching gears a little bit, we was talking about the sexual acts and everything like that. What causes a male? Now, we know the male is physical, more physical. He's more greater in the physical dimension of his senses. What causes a male to commit infidelity? And then I want you to bring that because we're trying to help the brothers and the sisters out. So what causes a male to commit infidelity in the marriage? And then if he's physical, and then what causes a female to commit the same thing when she is has a higher sensitivity to the emotional? So is she drawn away by her emotional as the man is drawn away by the visual into the physical?
Okay, well, that's a real good question, and it piggybacks right off of what you were asking me about marriage. So when a married couple really grasps an understanding of what their sexual intimacy represents, that it is literally a picture of the worship that we are to have with God, the oneness with him, the closeness with him, the intimacy, the nakedness that we are to have before God, because he says that those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And that means that God wants to go all the way into the deepest, truest part of us. And then when he says he wants to worship, wants us to worship in truth, it means that he wants us to come in complete nakedness, that he doesn't want us covered. What happened in the Garden of Eden after the fall of man? Well, the first thing that the first response to sin was that they covered themselves. They covered them. See, before the fall, they were covered by the Father's love. And that's why they were naked and not ashamed. But when sin happened, they immediately covered themselves. Not only did they cover themselves, but they covered themselves in death. And why do I say that? Because they took fig leaves to cover themselves. And any time a branch is disconnected from the tree, it immediately begins to die. So they covered themselves in death. And that's what sin does. It puts a layer of death between us and the Father. And so this is what most relationships look like. This is what most relationships look like, that the woman is covered or the man is covered because of insecurities and inadequacies, because of previous perversions, other relationships, soul ties that they've brought into the relationship. They've got all, they're all wrapped up in death. And so they're not able to worship in spirit and in truth. And so sex becomes a purely physical act. It's only happening in the body, but there is no real emotional connection. There is no spiritual connection. There is no real heart-to-heart intimacy. There is no oneness. So the marriage covenant is there because a blood covenant is made every time you have sex, whether you're legally married on paper or not. Every time you have sex, you're making that blood covenant. So the marriage covenant is there, but it is not producing the fruit that covenant should yield. Just like us being in covenant with the Father, the covenant is there once we become born again because of the shed blood, just like blood is shed in the bedroom. Well, the shed blood of the Lamb brought us into covenant with the Father. But in many of our lives, the covenant is not bearing the fruit that it should. It's not bearing the intimacy and the oneness that it should. And so it's the same way in marriage. And we are wired for that oneness. We are when Adam saw his wife and they came together in covenant, he said, "This is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, for she shall be called woman because she came out of man." When Adam was given his assignment to name the animals, he gave every creature on the planet a name, a distinct name. But for the woman, he did not name her. He simply called her woman because she came out of him, because they were so one. They were so unified that she didn't even have a distinct name. It's just like, this is woman. If you notice, the name of Eve is not revealed until after the fall when they left the garden, because that oneness was severed. It was cut off at that point. And so he gave her a name after the curse. Isn't that something? And so women are longing now to get back into the heart of their husband. But the heart of the husband has been disconnected. Your desire will be for your husband, but he will rule over you. You will desire to get back into his heart. You will desire to be back in that intimate place of oneness with him. But he will rule over you. He will look down on you. He will see you as something weaker, just meant to serve and bring pleasure to him. So this disconnect that we have in marriage began in the garden or outside of the garden after the fall of man. And this is what ultimately ends up leading to infidelity a lot of times. Sometimes it can be lust demons, like I talked about earlier, somebody that just really has a lust problem. They might really be satisfied in their marriage on all other points, but just have not been delivered from a spirit of lust. But other times, a lot of times, it's just because they've never made that real connection. They've never gone through the steps to be redeemed from the curse of being emotionally and spiritually separated in marriage and not knowing how to walk in the fullness of the fruit of being born again, because we're redeemed from that curse. Another reason that happens, and I think this is one of the biggest reasons, Prophet, is that a lot of couples enter into marriage already in an adulterous state. Why? Because very few people, as a matter of fact, I did some research on it, less than 5% of the population marries as virgins. So 95% of the population get married having already been sexually active with someone other than their spouse. And what does that mean? Well, that means that they're really already married when they walk down the aisle. So they're committing adultery at the altar. So that spirit of adultery follows you right into your marriage. Another thing that brings adultery into marriage is fornication. It is when you engage in sex with that person before you go through all of the steps to make it honorable, to make it decent. Yes, once you have sex, that blood covenant has been made. You really, spiritually, you're already married. But why did Yahshua get baptized? He got baptized by someone who was a sinner when he himself was sinless. Why did he do that? He said, let us do this so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. And so even though you may already be married because you're already sexually involved, all righteousness must be fulfilled by going through all of the proper procedures to make it honorable in the natural. And when you don't do that, that spirit of fornication follows you right into your marriage and later translates itself to adultery. So there's just so many reasons. That's a loaded question, because adultery, infidelity in marriage can be really complex and have many layers and many dimensions.
My Lord. So you're saying, amen, for the people that listen to Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen, blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, amen. Definitely call in 347-945-5416. Know the people are being blessed. If you ain't got your notebooks out right now, amen, you're really missing it, amen. But let's go into this. So you're saying with the relationship, amen, what causes a person to be bound, not really understanding the way that marriage should go as far as the lustfulness, dealing with their sexual unfulfillment as they believe to be. What causes a person, something has been distorted, their perception of what marriage really is. So should they have to master their singleness first before they get married? If you don't master being one with yourself and being one with Yahshua and Yahweh, if you don't master that before you get married, shouldn't you be entering into a conflict when you do get married?
Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. You know, that's a really good question, and the answer is not black and white. It's a little gray because it depends on where you're starting. It depends on the history that you're coming out of. See, marriage really can only be perfected in marriage. There's really nothing that can prepare you for the process of becoming one, and the two shall become one flesh. That is a process that you walk out over a number of years. And so perfecting singleness doesn't necessarily prepare you for marriage because marriage is completely opposite of singleness. However, if you have a really colorful path, to put it nicely, as far as relationships are concerned, and you've been sexually involved with a number of people, or you're just getting out of a really intense relationship, or you were in a long-term relationship, broken engagements, divorces, promiscuity, molestation. Mm-hmm. These are all things that really, really distort your ability to be intimate. Just about anybody can have sex. As long as your body is functioning properly and your sex organs are functioning, you can have sex. You don't have to be emotionally, spiritually, or mentally whole to have sex. So anybody can get married and have sex. The issue is not sex, it's intimacy. It is intimately connecting with somebody on a heart level, on a mind level, the affection, the knowing, the familiarity, the oneness, the longing to please somebody, the longing to, when you really have intimacy with somebody, Faith Walker, marriage is not nearly as challenging, because when you are intimate with somebody, see, God is so wise. When he said the two shall become one, the reason that the two became one is because if I'm one with you, I'm not going to hurt you, because if I hurt you, I'm hurting myself. But if I stay separate from you, if I'm disconnected from you, if I'm not one with you, if I'm not intimate with you, it's easy now for me to mistreat you. It's easy for me to be having a bad day and snap at you. It's easy for me to take you for granted, to take advantage of you, because we're not one. So the pain that I caused you is separate from me. But when we become one, anything that I do to you, I'm doing also to myself. So likewise, if I mistreat you, I'm mistreating me. But if I treat you well, I'm also treating myself well. If I make you happy, then I'm making me happy. You know, if I bring you, give you pleasure, then I'm giving me pleasure. We talked about sexuality and marriage, and one of the keys to having enjoyable, intimate sex in marriage is to focus on the other person, to get your mind completely off of yourself, to not think about whether or not you're going to climax or you're reaching your pleasurable point. But your 100% focus should be on, is my spouse getting pleased? So when you focus on satisfying them and they're focused on satisfying you, then both of you become satisfied. And that's the way marriage is really supposed to work.
Oh, wow. You know, I know the enemy's busy. Phones going off and everything while we're having this. This is crazy. Amen. But I definitely feel your prophetess and definitely shifting gears, amen. We're going to go deeper, amen. Since the enemy keep acting up, we're going to keep going deeper, amen. Keep addressing it, amen. When a sister sleeps with a man, whether you outside the covenant, whatever the state, amen, even, this is a two-part question. All right, when you, as a woman of God, all right, you meet a man, amen, and whether you're a woman of God or just a woman outside the church, I'm trying to make it broad appeal because not everybody listens to the mantle is saved. So if you're a woman, period, amen, and you sleep with a man, and now this is a psychopath. This man is a psychopath. He beats on women, and he does all these crazy foolishness, amen. And but she loved this type of man. She loved a thug, amen. So now she sleeps with him. And now she sleeps with him. Now he smoked blunts. And he drinks and all that stuff. And he only got God on his mind. But this is a woman of God. She got God all on her inside. And she wants to be obedient to her man. What goes on right there?
Well, that goes back to what we talked about earlier, that your desire will be for your husband. A woman is wired to remember that the woman was taken out of the man, that Yahweh created a woman by taking a rib from a man. Now, this is kind of deep. Follow me on this. When Yahweh made the man, everything he made from the dust of the ground. He made all of the creatures he made from the dust of the ground, not just people but the animals as well. And he made Adam from the dust of the ground. And so I believe, and I even saw this in a vision, the Holy Spirit showed me this in an open vision, that when he created Eve, when the Bible says that he took a rib from the man's side, well, first of all, he took that entire, you know, rib is not just that one little bone the way we see it. It's that entire row from the rib cage. So the whole bottom row from the rib cage, he took it. A bone is a hard, non-porous material. I believe that the Lord crushed it into dust. He crushed it into a fine powder because he made everything from dust. So he took that rib and he crushed it into dust, crushed it into a fine powder, mixed it with the other dust, and then he made the woman. Now, why is that important? Because the essence of man then now is in every fiber of woman's being. There's not a part of her that doesn't have man in her. So she's longing now to get back inside of him. She came out of his chest right next to his heart. So every woman is longing to get back next to the heart of man. And everything in her makes her scream for that. So that's before you even have sex. I mean, that's as a virgin. Unless God does something supernatural with you, the Bible says that singleness is a gift. Paul said some of you may have the gift of singleness, but if you don't, hey, you know, go get married. So what does that say? That most women are like that. I'm not saying every woman is like that, but the majority of women are longing to be next to some man's heart, even if before she has sex. So now when you go ahead and you have sex, what happens now? Well, now you've got a sexual blood covenant, which is the most powerful covenant on the planet outside of our covenant with the Lamb. There's no covenant that is stronger than that sexual blood covenant. You've got a sexual blood covenant and a soul tie, which are two separate things.
So that's body and soul.
It's body, soul, and spirit, because spiritually she's already wired. She's divinely wired to want to be in that man's heart, which means that she's going to do everything that she can do to please him. She's going to bend over backwards, compromise, go outside of herself, sacrifice any and everything she has to do to get next to that man's heart. She's wired that way before she even touches him. Then she creates a soul tie with him. So now her mind, her will, and her emotions are tied to this relationship. And then when you have sex, now you got the sexual blood covenant. I mean, this thing is so powerful.
But that's an explosion waiting to happen.
Yeah. Don't have sex before time. Oh, my goodness. That's why I said in the Book of Solomon, she said, young ladies, don't wake love before it's time. Because once you wake it up, it is very hard to put it back to sleep.
Amen. Listen, 347, listen, I know how you, I got a whole ton of leaders on here tonight. We got 5-4, everybody on here tonight, amen. But folk don't want to put themselves out there, amen. You better come up here and get your dog on deliverance, amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. We having real talk tonight, amen. Amen. I hate that I had to do it, amen, but I ain't scared. I'll do it. Amen. Mantle of God Empowerment Program, Intimacy Edition, with Prophetess Dr. Intimacy Lanine Hanaya in the building, amen. So we have a real talk, amen, body of Christ. We're talking about real topics. We're talking about sex and a lot of it. We got Valentine's Day coming up on a Friday, amen. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be addressed, amen. So, amen, you know you had a lot of leaders having church on Friday. Some folk might not be showing up. Let's keep it real. Keep it real. So definitely you want to have this information to govern yourself, amen. You might just want to have church on Thursday to prepare your congregation, amen. Because, you know, I mean, I just really sense it in the realm to know, just even on Friday. So definitely. But you was talking about the blood covenant, amen. You was talking about the blood covenant. Now explain how the blood covenant goes in, because you mentioned something in our times talking about how it relates to pregnancy with the child in the stomach of the mother, and then how that relates to the covenant, amen, the blood covenant of man and woman and the child, just the whole scenario of that. Briefly talk about that so the listeners who don't know.
Well, the blood covenant takes place. The common misconception is that you're only going to get that blood covenant if you have sex with a virgin, because the woman is going to shed blood the first time she has sex, which does happen, but in actuality, there is a blood exchange every time intercourse takes place, because a woman's lubrication is caused by a swelling of the vaginal walls due to increased blood flow, and so when that lubrication is coming out, there are actually tiny blood cells mixed in with that pushing through the walls, and then for the man, in order for a man to have an erection, well, that is literally a penis full of blood. It is blood circulation flowing to the penis, which is also being released through the fluid. So you have a blood covenant taking place during every sexual encounter, every encounter. Mm. So people really need to understand that, because they think, you know, once virginity is gone, well, we're scot-free. There's no blood covenant. Absolutely not. You're making that blood covenant every single time. And that blood covenant is what creates the marriage. Now, as far as the pregnancy is concerned and what that represents in the kingdom is so important, because there are four things that Yahweh wanted to teach us. Remember that marital relationship is a picture of our intimacy and our oneness with him. And there are four things that he wanted to teach us about our relationship with him through marital intimacy and sexuality. And one of those four things is the creative power that we have when we're intimate with him. when a woman conceives, well, those eggs were always in her ovary. And the man that produces the seed that fertilizes the egg, well, the production of that seed was always inside of him. The ability to produce that seed came from his own cells, his own loins. But it could not be seen until they came together in intimacy, and the seed now fertilizes the egg. And so what that basically means is that all of us have seeds of God's greatness hidden on the inside of us. Those seeds are already in us, but unless we become intimate with him and allow him to go inside to really penetrate the womb of our spirit, we will not conceive and give birth to his purposes and his plans in our lives. And that is why there are a lot of unfulfilled callings, a lot of unfulfilled prophecies, and a lot of unfulfilled destinies, because of a lack of intimacy with the Father. Just like a couple that never has sex, it's impossible for them to have a baby.
All right, as we shift gears, my goodness, this is the fastest hour I've ever experienced. Masturbation, all right? A lot of sisters say, look, man of God, I ain't sexing, but I do me. I do me. So we got some sisters out there saying they doing them. They said, I ain't having sex with nobody. I'm just doing me. I'm waiting on the one. You know, what's going on with that?
Yeah, and I want to talk again about the book. Really, really, I mentioned the book in terms of marriage, but please, please, everybody listening, anybody that has questions about this, if you think you don't have any questions, the Spirits of Sexual Perversion reference book on my website, drintimacy.com, drintimacy.com. You want to get the Spirits of Sexual Perversion reference book and STD, Sexually Transmitted Demons. Everything that I'm discussing tonight is really broken down in depth in those two books. But masturbation is one of the 11 Spirits of Perversion that I talk about in the Spirits of Sexual Perversion handbook. There is fornication, masturbation, adultery, incest, homosexuality, prostitution, pornography, rape, pedophilia, bestiality, promiscuity, and lust. So those are the 11 spirits that are broken down, each in their own chapter. Can you imagine a whole chapter just on masturbation? It is that deep. Because if we understand clearly that pure sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, the way God designed it, was given to us to represent our intimacy and our worship and our oneness with God, then now we can get a clear understanding of where perversion comes from and why. See, the devil wants to steal your worship. Pure sexual intimacy represents your worship with God, and what he's really after is your worship. Little do we know, the devil could really care less about anything on your body. He does not care about your penis, your vagina, your mouth, your anus. You know, sorry to be so graphic, but he doesn't care about all that stuff or what you do with it. But he's a spirit. We forget that the devil is a spirit, and he's after a spiritual prize. And the spiritual prize that he wants is to steal your spiritual intimacy, not your physical intimacy. He wants to steal your spiritual intimacy. And he does that by distorting and perverting the representative or the picture or the replica or the model that God gave us of proper spiritual intimacy with him, which is marriage. So now if the devil can come and pervert our understanding of sex and what to do with sex and how to use sex, it distorts and messes up our whole understanding of how to have pure intimate worship with God. And masturbation is another one of those perversions, and it's the most deceptive one because of the very thing that you said. Well, this is just me doing me. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not coming together with anyone. I'm not making a blood covenant. But masturbation is an act of self-worship. It is self-worship. It will bring more pride into your life than almost any other thing that you can imagine. It will bring pride into your life. Self-worship, and when you worship self, you are never more like the devil than when you're worshiping yourself, because he said, I shall be like the Most High. And when you masturbate, you are worshiping yourself. Everything becomes about you. You become very self. See, every spirit of every act of sexual perversion has a spirit assigned to it. There is a spirit of fornication. There's a spirit of adultery. There's a spirit of masturbation. And each one of those spirits has a very specific, particular assignment in how they distort your worship relationship with God. So the spirit of masturbation produces self-worship. You become selfish, self-centered, self-focused. So now in your worship becomes a very selfish thing that is done to satisfy you without any mindfulness of how it's affecting God. We have so many spiritual masturbators in the church. They're falling out, worshiping, shouting, praising, not realizing that God's not feeling anything. I mean, two people can be in a room masturbating together at the same time. They're not pleasuring each other. And that's how we treat God in worship, under that spirit of masturbation, that we're getting pleasure out of so-called praise and worship, and he's not being pleasured by it at all.
My goodness.
So that's a very damaging, it's a very damaging act. The deception of it makes it even more so, because we think that it is not harming us in any way. Masturbation also brings depression. It brings rebellion. It is the spirit that causes rebellion against leadership in church. It brings distraction. It destroys spiritual stamina. So if you have trouble maintaining stamina in prayer, fasting, Bible study, all of those are birthed out of the spirit of masturbation. It also affects very greatly natural relationships as well, because when you masturbate, you train your body to respond to your own touch. So now you have women that maybe, or even men, are complaining about not enjoying sex with their husband or their wife, or not being stimulated. But you've trained your body to desire your own hand. How can your husband possibly compete with you pleasuring yourself when you know how to work your body and he's a man trying to figure it out? How can he possibly compete?
Talk about it. Talk about
compete,
it.
Compete.
Yes.
And so same likewise with your wife. You know, you're masturbating, you don't wore yourself out, you're messing up your blood circulation, and then you're complaining that you're not stimulated by your wife, so now you want to watch porn or get a prostitute. How can she possibly compete with what you are doing to your own body? And so this spirit of masturbation, man, it really destroys intimacy. That sex is something that was designed for two people to come together and pleasure themselves. But through masturbation, you usurp that whole process. You negate the necessity of somebody else bringing pleasure to you, and you go and get it on your own. It completely destroys intimacy and interconnectedness in all relationships in life.
Phew. All right, Doc, as we get ready to wind down, amen. There's another question, Doc. I got to ask it, amen. Church folks want to know. They ain't want to get on the line, amen. They want to know, is oral sex allowed in the covenant of marriage for kingdom folk? Sheesh.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That is a good one. And the answer is, biblically speaking, yes, there's nothing in the Bible that prevents or condemns oral sex within the confines of marriage. But I'm going to say, yes, cautiously, because of the level of perversion that many people have been involved in before they've gotten married, and even while they are married, that it really can introduce spirits of lust and perversion in the marriage if you are not clean. But there is nothing in Scripture that would condemn it. The Scriptures that are used to condemn oral sex are all taken out of context. They're all referring to homosexuality and different acts of idol worship, temple idol worship. As a matter of fact, if you go into the Book of Solomon and study it carefully, there are actually references to oral sex in the Book of Solomon as being blessed within the confines of marriage. And if you read the book, The Spirits of Sexual Perversion Reference Book, I do talk about that in depth. also talk about the processes that you need to go through to be thoroughly cleansed so that you can enjoy everything that God gave you to enjoy in marriage. As a matter of fact, I think there's a couple of pages, maybe four or five pages, where I detail different acts of sex that are perverted within marriage, just kind of some sexual marital guidelines. Is this okay? Is that okay? Another one that people want to know about is anal sex. No, anal sex is not okay in marriage. It's very different than oral sex. And so that's talked about in
talk
the book.
About
so,
it. Yes.
So all of that is outlined in detail. I'm not shy to talk about anything. I stand by everything that's written in there. It's scripturally based. It's not opinionated. This is all coming out of scripture. These are things that the Lord has revealed to me, and we do need to talk about it. We need to talk about it in depth. We got to open this stuff up. But to close out on that question, I would definitely say that if you have a spouse that is not comfortable with that, that you should not try to force that on them. And if there is some conflict in the marriage about that particular act, that a lot of prayer needs to take place so that you guys can come into unity, because, you know, then you have men saying, well, my wife doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, so I'm going to go get it somewhere else. No, that is not okay. But it's also not okay for you to withhold things that your husband wants to enjoy, because he should be able to enjoy all those different aspects. So we have to get healed so that we can just enjoy the fullness of what God has given us. Because marital sex should be the best. Marital sex, especially in a godly relationship, should be the best, hottest, steamiest, most passionate, can't forget about it, thinking about it all day long, getting chills in the middle of the work day, you know? I mean, it ought to be the bomb.
My Lord. Like I said, you definitely pick up Prophetess Lanine, Dr. Intimacy Hanai, her book, Spirits of Sexual Perversion, reference book, I Got It. It's a 308-page book. And she talks about, you know, a note from a doctor, what you see when you look at me, break free, intimacy. And she covered briefly how the devil wants to steal your worship, having the best sex of your life. Are you a virgin or did you marry as one? She touched on that briefly. The myths of premarital sex, the chemical reactions in the body, unsung victims of sexual abuse, three steps to the disempowering lust in your life. There is a lot of topics she goes into with this book, so I definitely encourage you to go out and support it at drintimacy.com. Definitely get her book. And you got last word, Doc. I hate to let you go, amen, but definitely you got final word, amen. Anything you want to say else before you release your information to the people?
Well, I enjoyed being on the show, and I'm just going to strongly encourage people again to get the books, because this is what, 17 years that have gone into the information that's in this book, so there's no way that we could cover it even in 10 shows. You really have to go into it and read it. And if you think that you don't have a problem in this area, I'm going to challenge you even more so to read it than anyone else, because in the body of Christ, people that have been married for a long time, or maybe people that have been celibate for a long time, or are virgins, think that this is not an issue for them. And when you begin to understand that spirits of sexual perversion can operate in your life spiritually, even if you don't have any physical acts of sexual perversion going on at all, that these spirits can still be operating in your life spiritually. They can be affecting your worship and all of your relationships. So I strongly encourage every person to get this book. You can get the PDF download. You can order the hard copy or get a download of it to start reading tonight. So that's it.
Well, amen. Just you said a mouthful. I wanted you to have last word, but you was talking about even a person who ain't having sex. Amen. You can definitely be affected by those spirits. Amen. I'm talking about passed on by generational. It could be generational passing on. She covers that in the book as well. Yes, I'm reading. So definitely get the book. Support it. Amen. She has another book, the STD book, Sexual Transmitted Demons. Basically, it's almost like a bio of her life. Basically, that's what it is. She has an awesome testimony. She has it available. Tell them about that YouTube video you have up about your testimony, amen, about what you've been through.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you go to my website, I can't even remember the name of it, but if you go to my website, drintimacy.com, on the opening page, there is a six-minute PowerPoint video sharing my testimony. And then if you go into the website, there's a link that you can click on that takes you to the hour-long version of it where you really get the fullness of it. And I'll be uploading some new messages and teachings on my website as well also that you can order by CD or download and some free stuff. So just stay connected with the website. Sign up on my blog, insightsfromdrintimacy.wordpress.com. Stay connected with me. And I'm just determined to continue to teach God's people. I went through a lot. I was raped when I was a little girl, when I was two, and just got into a lot of things from that. But I tell you, like I said earlier, I am licensed to deliver in this area. And so I'm very thankful for everything that I went through that I can strengthen somebody else.
Go ahead and take us out with a closing prayer. Matter of fact, let me remind the listeners, we're going to have the Alabama Spirituals on for Kingdom Voices Gospel Program on Sunday again. We're definitely going to have Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall in the building next Monday. So if you need help on your relationships, everything, listen, the prophetic mantle was definitely demonstrated on tonight. She deals in a different dimension, amen, but it's definitely prophetic, amen. She deals with the intimacy level, amen. So definitely support this ministry. Go to her website. Definitely purchase the book, amen. And definitely will see y'all on the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program, amen. Prophetess, take us out with prayer.
Father, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, Yahshua, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for the words that went forth tonight. We thank you for the strongholds that will be torn down in the kingdom of the enemy, O Father. For all of those listening tonight and the heavy conviction that has come, O Father, I just pray that people will adhere to your word where it says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Father, I'm just praying for those that have plans for this Valentine's Day, plans that they think will just affect this one night, O Father, but will the consequences of it can last for years and decades and follow them even to the grave, O Father. So I just thank you that the keeping power of your Holy Spirit will be with your people this week, O Father, and that plans will be altered and changed, O Father, that people's minds will be renewed concerning sexuality and intimacy and a worship, O Father, that there will be a greater reverence and regard for this beautiful, beautiful institution of marriage that you have created to bless us and to help us become closer to you in oneness with you, O Father. I thank you for this program and for Faith Walker, the host, O Father, and I just pray that it will continue to grow and be blessed, O Father. Now, we pray against all backlash, Father, and take cleansing waters from the altar of heaven, from the throne of heaven, and we wash our hands and our bodies, and we bind up every spirit of backlash that will come against us or any of the listeners. In the mighty name of Jesus, HaMashiach Yahshua Adonai, we agree and say amen.
Amen. God bless you from the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. We'll see you on Sunday, EMG Radio. Amen.
Worthy is thy name. I couldn't